have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of 2 Kings. Book of 2 Kings. I was reluctant to preach this morning, but since he called on me, I shared the word one time with my father-in-law while he was drunk, and it didn't work out well. And some of you are about half drunk here this morning, and so I'm reluctant to share the word of God with you. I don't want to mess up nothing that's going on. But we thank the Lord for feeling his presence this morning. I would assure you that come to Holly Springs, after being in some 50 churches a year, it ain't like this everywhere. You ought to really anchor down here. I wouldn't even consider leaving here. Are you listening to me? Oh, it's not like this everywhere. But we thank the Lord for speaking to us this morning in just a clear-cut way. 2 Kings this morning, if you have the Bible there. We have been meditating the last few weeks and months on a little phrase that was birthed in my heart some time ago while I was, matter of fact, when I was here at James Henson's ordination. It was just in baby stages then. And it was the little phrase, unknown here, but well known over there. And of course, it's gotten much bigger since those days. And I want to look at some Bible characters in these days that were unknown, but well known over there. We're living in a day and age right now where, with social networking and everything, people are really seeking to be well known here. And very dangerous to want to be well known here. I don't know what your little thing is. I don't know what your little business is. But it's extremely dangerous to spend all your time wanting to be well known here and nobody know you over there. We're living in a day and age where we have made real big to-do. People that died in very rank, sinful situations. And we make heroes out of them. And they're known nationally. And give them big funerals. And even while we're having their funeral, they're in hell. How come? Can nobody know them over there? But see, if you show up over there and he says he doesn't know you, that's it. Hell's your home. I want to begin this morning, if you've got the Bible there, in 2 Kings chapter number 5. I want to look this morning at Naaman's little maid. She didn't even have a name. But, bud, she had lit it up over there. Didn't a soul here know her. She's the one that sweeps around here and dusts. But son, if they'd asked over there, we know her. She's lit it up over here. We had a party since she's been in the house. I want to look at her under the title of an unknown connector, conduit, channel. She's going to put her spiritual hand of influence upon Almighty God. She's going to put her spiritual hand of influence on a pagan sinner. And she's going to bring the two of them together. And he's going to be whiter than snow when God gets done. I was wondering, not being nosy, God forbid I'd stick my nose in your business. I was wondering if you would be interested in anything like that. Whiter than snow. God's looking for some conduits. Did you know that where you go to school down there, where you work, did you know there's some pagans down there? What should I do? Bring the two of them together. As we begin to unpack this text this morning, I noticed that there are three characters in this story. There is a known sinner. There is an unknown saint. And there's a knowable Savior in this text. Notice the known sinner, if you would. The context of the story, very well known of Elisha's miracles. Even the kids down in kindergarten Sunday school know this as seven ducks in a muddy pond. But it magnifies the truth of Romans, where Paul said, for whatsoever was written of aforetime was written for our learning. This is one of the greatest portraits of the sovereign redemption of a sinner in all the Bible. Well, how did he do it? He took a little unknown man. He didn't even have a name. Whiter than snow. He's still looking for some unknown conduits, channels, connectors to do the work. Notice not only the context of this known sinner, notice the characteristics, if you would, in verse number 1, chapter 5, 2 Kings. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. We've got a great man on our hands, very influential with his master. His master thought he was simply great. The Bible says in our text he was honorable. The little word honorable has the idea of one who is highly esteemed, one who is looked up to by those who are around him. I thought it was interesting. Naaman's name means pleasantness, a joy to be around. There's some of you sitting here this morning, you're a joy to be around. Pleasant. But you're still going to hell when you die. You listen to me? Notice the text. He says, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. God used him as a pawn to give deliverance to Syria, and he didn't get jack reward for it. God just used him, moved him on the board to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. I'm talking about his characteristics. He says he was also a mighty man of valor. He is a great, brave warrior. Man, with all of those characteristics, pleasant, regarded, honorable, great, mighty warrior. Gracious, most Baptist churches would make him chairman of the deacon board. He only had one small, itsy, bitsy problem. Look at the last part of verse number 1. But he was a leper. That is what is hindering some of you this morning from being known over there. But you are a leper. Leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. It is an awful condition. It separates those that are going to heaven from those that are going to hell. Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 5 that his mind had been darkened with sin, caused him to be separated from God, past feelings, and without hope in this world. I got to looking and comparing some of the characteristics in the Old Testament of leprosy and sin, how it works in the life. I just mention them quickly to you. One, it was insignificant at the start. It just started as a pimple. Some of you teenagers, pimple come up on your face. You know how to take care of that. We just put some blush on it. Very insignificant. It isn't very trivial at the start. But it is Paul who told us that the wages of sin is what? Life? God forbid. Death. An eternal death. In other words, God will put you in hell and you will be on the brink of dying forever in a flame and never be able to get it done. Wow. I don't know about you. If I thought I was on the edge of doing that this morning, I would do like this young man did. I'd get her taken care of right now. I noticed in my study of leprosy that it was inherited. It was come through your blood. Poison. You daddies, if you're having a problem with your children, whip yourself as well as them. How come? You're the one that give them that meanness. Came through your blood to them. You listening to me? David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David said, "I come out of my mother's womb telling lies." That little old baby, you go, "Oh, he's so sweet, he's a liar." Change his pants, change her pants, feed them and lay them down. And before you get down the hallway, they're screaming. You come back in the room and they stop crying. How come? They're a liar. Leprosy. I noticed in my study that it works without perception or pain. Often when a leopard would have pain, it's too late. Too late. Some of you sitting right here this morning, once your sin begins to cause you pain, it may be too late. Too late. Too late for you to deal with it. Too far gone. Too far gone. I notice sin will take you further than you want to go. Make you stay longer than you want to stay. Make you pay more than you want to pay. I found in my study that leprosy spreads rapidly and deadly. So quick. In other words, Paul said in Romans 7, he said, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Nothing. We're talking about the fair-haired boy wrote over half the New Testament and said, nothing good about me. I hear people all the time, some young person died, they were so innocent, so good. No, they wasn't. Ain't no good people. None. Zero. How come? Because of leprosy. I find in my study that it is highly infectious. They used to make the Old Testament leper. That's interesting, isn't it? Put a mask on. Hello. Get near them. Unclean. Unclean. Don't get near me. I was thinking the other day, I wish the sins that so beset me, I wish God would put a mask on them and give them the ability to talk. And when I get close to them, they'd start screaming, "Unclean, get away, I'll hurt you." Highly infectious. Loathsome to the eye, I read. The Old Testament leper. Many that walked by him would shudder. So glad I ain't got that mess. Habakkuk says that God is of too pure eyes to look upon sin. I noticed in my study that leopards were called the walking dead. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you know you're lost. To God, you're dead. Just walking dead person. Just waiting for the undertaker to come and take you and finish you up. The walking dead. Paul said in Ephesians that you hath he quickened who were dead, corpse, trespasses and sin. That's why sinners can't come to God. You can sing all the "Just As I Am" you want to. You can put gospel tracts under their nose, and I got gospel tracts in my pocket right now. But it ain't going to cause no sinner to come. Holy Ghost have to do that. Leprosy was dealt with by banishment. Sin shuts you out. Here's a, the Old Testament leopard was incurable. Couldn't cure it. I double D dare you to show me anywhere in the Bible where they ever sent a leper to see a doctor. Never. They always sent him to see a priest, a preacher. There's some of you sitting right here this morning. You think you're physically sick. It's not a doctor you need. It's an altar you need. You listen to me. One trip to the altar and vomit up all that mess you got inside of you. You may not even have to go over that doctor again. You listening to me this morning? Sin can only be cured by the Lord. There's a known sinner. But I notice in this maid, she is an unknown saint. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man, was master, was honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel. What? At least give her a name. Nuh-uh. Just a young teenage girl. What in the world can God do with some little teenage girl? It's awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this baby way over your head. White as snow. He's still looking for them. He'll take young ones, old ones. If he can get you to be a conduit, a channel, a connector between him and a pagan sinner, he may channel through you the gospel. Put the two of them together and make that pagan sinner white as snow. Brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. Syrian invasion. Naaman, he's a great man. She's just a little maid. He's a respected Gentile. She's a hated Jew. His name is mentioned. Her name's not mentioned at all. He's the captain of the Syrian host. She's just a household slave. He's a leper. She's a connector to the healer. Hey, do not take lightly your position this morning as an unknown person in this world. I don't know where God's got you stuck, but I guarantee you there's some sinners over there where you could and bring the two of them together if you were interested. She was a prisoner connector. But I was thinking also of her parental connection. Her precious parents must have asked a million times why a favored daughter of Abraham would become a slave to a Gentile heathen. God had great reason for this trial. Things happen, but they don't just happen. No mere chance that God has placed her in this home. I'm telling you, God will go to great extremes, even of laying you and I on our backs, that we might. Are you listening to me? Surely they had taught this young girl Proverbs and Psalms. He hath determined the times before appointed and the boundaries of thy habitation. What a resting place for a trial that she was going to. Oh, you would think, I don't know about you, if I had been ripped away from my mom and dad, if I had been placed in a new place of religion, a new diet, I'd say, let him go to hell. Not her. She's got something bigger than her feelings. Are you listening to me this morning? You say, you don't know how bad he's hurt me. She's hurt me. You don't know how bad this old gal's been hurt. But she's still making a connection. Thinking about not only the prisoner connection, the parental connection, but the powerful connection. Isaiah 24 says, let us glorify the Lord in our fires. What God's got you going through this morning, the fires he's got you in. Are you glorifying God? You looking beyond yourself for somebody you can help make a connection? I was thinking in this maid, how just a word in season made this connection. She didn't even take this guy down the Romans Road. She didn't even take him down the German Road, nor the French Road. She made a statement to his wife, and his wife made a statement to somebody else, and it made the connection. Watch the text. Don't take my word for it. It says in verse number 3, and she said unto her mistress, that's Naaman's wife, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of this leprosy. She said, if y'all could get him over to where I was born and raised and get him with that preacher over there, he'd help him. Simple word. Verse number 4, and one went in and told his Lord. She's going to tell it somebody else. He's going to get it third hand. But he still did this. See, you might be telling somebody, and it may not help them at all, but they may tell somebody else, and it helped them. But if you don't ever tell it, ain't nobody going to hear it. Of course, I don't know about you. If you ain't ever seen nothing, you ain't never heard nothing, you ain't going to never tell nothing. And I hear people all the time say, well, listen, preacher, I don't discuss religion and I don't discuss politics. If I would have voted for Biden and I was on my way to hell, I wouldn't talk about it either. I keep it to myself because you need a connection. The unknown saint. I notice there is a knowable Savior in this story. She wants him to go over, the Bible tells us, to see the prophet. Verse number 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, that heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes. They sent him to the king, trying to get him to this prophet. You know, you'd almost think God wrote the Bible. You know what Elisha's name means? God is the Savior. What? Wow, Elisha is the Jesus in the story. She's going to put a hand on Jesus, and she's going to put a hand on a pagan Gentile, and she's going to put the two of them together. And he's going to come out how? With a little leprosy here and a little leprosy. No! He's going to come out white as snow. Took him down there, and old Elisha told him, said, you're going to have to go and dunk in the Jordan River 7 times. He said, man, I got 2 nicer rivers back up in Syria. I ain't ducking myself in that muddy river. One of his servants told him, said, if he'd have asked you to do something major or would have done some hocus pocus over you, you would have done it. But he's just asked you to do something simple. That's all God's asked you to do this morning is bow your stinking knees and tell him you're sorry for your stinking sin and believe he died at Calvary for him. It isn't some kind of some great cloud you're going to see and some great feeling you're going to get. No! He went down there and ducked in that river. The Bible says in verse number 4, and his flesh was as a little child, and he was clean. I wonder this morning if you're interested in being a connector. I was thinking again this week, there was an old boy years ago. His name was Kimball. They said he was introverted. He said he never would look at you if he was talking to you, to always look at the ground. He just so introverted. And he taught a little Sunday school at the Baptist church. And he taught the boys' class. And he got a burden for this boy that worked down at the shoe shop. He's stocking shoes. He had seen him in there before. And the boy told later that he come down there and talked to him one day. He said, he never would look me in the eye. So he just looked at the ground talking to me. He said he didn't really quote no scripture. He said he just told me what God had done for him in his life and saving him. And through that word, God saved this old boy's soul. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not. His name was D.L. Moody. You listening to me? They said old Moody put 1 foot in England and 1 foot in America. Didn't have hundreds saved, didn't have thousands saved. He had millions saved. Said in one of Moody's campaigns, there was an old boy saved. His name was Wilbur Chapman. Went on to be one of the greatest evangelists that America's have ever known. One of the campaigns that old Wilbur Chapman preached, there was an old boy saved in one of his campaigns by the name of Mordecai Ham. He said old Mordecai Ham set up a tent up in Charlotte. Had a bunch of boys come one night, seemingly up to no good. And one of them, he said, set up in the left corner of the choir loft because it was so full. He didn't heckle or anything that night. Said he was a tall, lanky boy. He said, but God fell on that area of the choir and he is gloriously saved. I don't know if you'd ever heard of him or not. His name was Billy Graham. And it all began with a little introverted, wouldn't look you in the face, guy. Willing to make a connection. I was thinking again this week about just how a word will create such a chain reaction. Several years ago, and if I've told you this story, I'm sorry. I just want to hear it again because it's so reminds me I need to say a word sometime to make that connection. I preached for Joe Arthur on a Sunday night. And after I got done preaching, he asked a missionary from Brazil to come and take about 10 minutes and tell about his work at the end. I'm sorry. I didn't hear nothing the missionary said. Nothing. Zero. And I've never had it happen before, never had it happen since. But when he stepped to the pulpit to give his little thought on Brazil, there was a woman's face come in my mind right on the end of my nose. And I could not get this woman's face off my mind. You say, preacher, you sitting in a Baptist church thinking about women? I was that night. Couldn't get her off my mind. Well, who was it? It's my bank teller. In those days, they had to drive through bank. She was in a little cubicle outside. And I always went through her little window. Her name was Katie. One of the reasons I went through her window, because she wouldn't ask you your undershirt size. But here's her face. And the Holy Ghost whispered to me, how come you've never said anything to her about me? Ruh-roh. I've got to go to the bank the next day. I pull up to the window. Katie's always happy, bubbly. Today she is snarly. You could see it all over her. I mean, just ugly written all over. I thought to myself, this is probably not a good day to bring up God. But I remembered, better say something. I thought maybe I ought to go into it lightly. I said, Katie, did you go to church yesterday? She said, oh, Mr. Gillum. And she said, I slept in. She said, my mama tried to give me up, go to church. She said, Mr. Gillum, I'm lost and on my way to hell. I said, wow, I did not know that question would get that response. I know. You would have took her down to Romans Road, to German Road, to French Road, got her to pray the sinner's prayer, and called a sword of the Lord. I did not. I just told her what God had done for me and left her crying. For the next 6 weeks, every time I went through her window, she had her Bible out there. She had notebooks. She had books about the Bible. And in between customers, she was studying. And she would look at the mirror behind me, make sure there was nobody behind me. And she'd ask me all kind of questions about the Bible. Try to answer them as best I could. At the end of 6 weeks, I came through there on a Monday. She's smiling from ear to ear. She said, you won't believe what happened to me last night. I said, what happened to you? She said, I got saved. But that wasn't a big deal. She pecked on the window and pointed at me and said, it's all your fault. Will there be anybody in heaven that'll point at you and say, I'm up here? And I remember the day that you made the connection and said a word to me, and I couldn't shake it. God used it to save my soul. I love what the old songwriter said. Sinners Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all. Who the heavenly pathways leave. All who linger, all who fall. Come and he will give you rest. Trust him, for his word is plain. He will take the sinfulness. Christ receiveth sinful men. I love this verse. Christ receiveth sinful men, even me with all my sin. Purged from every spot and stain, heaven and him I enter in. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. Wonder, while I was preaching this morning, God put somebody there Oh, it won't get you well known here. But son, it'll light it up over there. Nobody knowed that maid. They didn't even give her a name. But they knowed her over there. That's old connector girl. That's old conduit girl. That's old channel girl. Putting her hand of influence upon the mighty God. And a sinner bringing the two of them together. Would you stand with us this morning? Preacher's coming. Direct us as we should go.
Brian, you come. Now, some of you may need to make connections for someone else in these moments. But more important, some of you need to make connection for yourself. For yourself. Are you thirsty this morning? He alone creates that thirst. That's him drawing you. Are you hungry this morning? You didn't create that. He creates that. Do you really want to be saved this morning? That's your invitation. Said it earlier in the service, something happened at the cross, something happened at the tomb. Something's already happened here this morning, but it can yet happen still to you. I don't know what connection you need to make this morning, but I surely wouldn't want to leave here disconnected. Altar's open, good time to get saved, good time to make connection. As we sing, Brother Brian, you lead us.
Holy Spirit, breathe on me until my heart is clean. Let sunshine fill its inmost heart with not a cloud between.
He's within reach this morning. He comes near that you and I might make connection. He's already made the first move.
Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart. Holy Spirit, breathe on me.
Are you interested?
Holy Spirit, breathe on me. My stubborn will subdue.
Oh, he'd do that for you.
Teach me in words of living flame what Christ would have me do. Breathe on me. Breathe on me.
Are you connected?
Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Fill me with power divine. Kindle a flame.
We got to have that. We've got to have His power. But if you're disconnected from Him, from the church, you'll be without power.
breathe on me, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart, cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me.
On this last verse, you mind it?
Holy Spirit, breathe on me till I am all thine own.
Is that how it is in your life? Is that how it is in your heart?
Is lost in thine.
I tell you, you don't need to be trying to wait till Wednesday night to make connection. You can get in now. You can get in on what God's doing now.
Breathe on me. Breathe on me.
Sing it.
Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou.
Chorus again, make it plural. Breathe on us, breathe on us. Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Take thou our hearts, cleanse every part. Make connection with them. Breathe on them. Breathe on them. Holy Spirit, breathe on them. Take now their hearts. Cleanse every part. May it be so. I appreciate the Lord's presence. You go to praying like the Savior, you see answers. I can't find where any of his prayers were ever denied. So may we pray like our Savior. Thank the Lord for all God's done, seen and unseen. Tell you what, I wouldn't miss a service tonight. Now, youth choir going to practice at 5. Children's choir is going to practice at 5:15. I failed to mention this earlier. At 5:15, I need to meet with all the security team over in the fellowship hall. 5:15, security team in the fellowship hall. Don't forget prayer rooms tonight. Don't forget the service tonight. Amen. Just no telling what the Lord might do in our midst. Amen. Shake hands, you go. Tell somebody you're glad to see them. You be sure to speak to Huntley. Speak to Brother Raymond, Brother Tom. You're at liberty.